Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology. Grab your cup of coffee, your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about the astrology, human design, gene keys coming up for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Can't believe it's again another weekend on tap here. Seems like their weeks are going by faster and faster. Now, who knew when we started January that things were going to heat up so much in the world around us? It's been a little bit weird. I still am fighting every day with myself to stay centered, to stay focused, and to not dive into the fear field of what's going on the planet. Also finding myself having to stay out of not only the fear, but what is happening in our country, at least, with the politics of this particular coronavirus and how annoying it is to see it politicized, to see people that act like, you know, this is all a conspiracy and it's not really happening and, you know, not releasing medical care, testing, etc. It is kind of crazy. And just to tell you, it is quite real, as in two of my grandchildren likely got exposed, and my daughter working with a doctor who is being tested for it and was very ill the day she was at work last. And that means maybe my daughter's entire family possibly exposed to this. So if you think it's not real, it is. If you think it's media hype, there's probably some of that too. But trust me when I say this is touching real people. And in a conversation I was having last evening, a brief conversation with Mimi, she asked the question, you know, what astrologically may be at the behind all of this? And you'll probably recall, this would have been back when Jupiter was still in Sagittarius. And that would have been up until, I think, December 2nd, when it finally moved into Capricorn. And while Jupiter was in Sagittarius, and Mimi, this is a part I didn't get to last night because it didn't occur to me until just this morning, that we were doing excessive things, right? The planet Jupiter rules the sign of Sagittarius, and it's big thinking, and it's let's all go and let's buy and let's do and let's eat and let's drink and let's, you know, whatever. Eat, drink, and be merry, right? And there tends to be, when Jupiter moves through Sagittarius, a process of going to excesses in many different ways, right? And that's individualized, and it's also collective. As Jupiter sits right there in the middle, Jupiter and Saturn sit there right in the middle between the inner planets and the outer planets. The inner planets, which, you know, affect you and me personally, and the outer planets, which do affect us personally, but are more involved in collective things. And then Jupiter and Saturn right there in the middle, bridging the energy between the two, both one way toward the outer planets, but then also bringing information and energy from the outer planets into the inner planets. So on a big wider scope, this has been going on, this excesses in behind the scenes. Jupiter moved into Capricorn, and now everything gets small, right? Everything contracts, everything gets constricted. And those excesses of the previous year of Jupiter in Sagittarius come home to roost. They could be financial expressions. They could be, as we're seeing, this virus that is affecting the human body. It could be in many different ways and in different areas of our chart. So if you want to know where maybe you were tending to go overboard or getting into excesses, look where Sagittarius is in your chart. And if you want to know where then things became constricted or were contracting, then you only need look at where Capricorn is in your chart. And then remember that Jupiter in Capricorn moved into a field that had already been stirred up by Saturn and Pluto and Chiriclo, and Ceres had been in there at that point in time. And so the ground was fertile for something karmic to happen. It really was. And it doesn't mean karmic in a bad way necessarily either. It could have been, you know, super good things. If we had been really good and diligent and, you know, took care of humanity while the planet Jupiter was running through Sagittarius, then, you know, we may not have to be paying this price right now, but we are. And it's okay, because this is all a part of that spiraling consciousness. This isn't something, you know, like you humans did something bad and now you're getting punished. Although karma is, feels sometimes a little bit like that, right? As we're balancing the scales, we've moved too far in one direction and now we're moving back to the other direction. And then as the new year began, I believe we had the solar eclipse in January, or the lunar eclipse, excuse me, in January. We had a solar eclipse right around Christmas time. I think it was Christmas time for us, Christmas Day for us in most of the U.S., and then for the eastern U.S. and further east, it was the 26th. So we already have a doorway opening for some kind of magnificent change, perhaps, or some kind of big change to occur. Solar eclipses bring in the new, and that solar eclipse would have been in Capricorn, right? Early Capricorn, right where Jupiter was. And then January comes in with a lunar eclipse, letting go of something. And then we move into early February, and we have the first of three Jupiter sextile Neptunes. And that is the one that I think has really triggered the pandemic nature of the coronavirus. And again, this is not playing into the fear field. That is not my intention here this morning, but just a little bit of an understanding how astrology is playing into this. Jupiter sextile Neptune, the sextiles, the trines, they are the smooth moving sharing of energies between the planets. So when we see a sextile or we see a trine, like today we have a lot of trines and sextiles with the moon to planets. We'll talk about that in a minute. When we see those smooth moving, beneficial, and I'm putting that in quotes because we believe that to be much more beneficial, then we think of really good things happening. But what we don't realize is that there is the possibility always that it can also magnify and smooth the way for the more negative expressions in those planets. Neptune as a planet rules your immune system. Or Pisces, it's, you know, Neptune rules the sign of Pisces, which rules the 12th house. So we see something secretive, we see something kind of incubating maybe in behind the scenes, much like a virus might incubate in your cells. And you know, your immune system is starting a process of creating health, but it all begins kind of in the secret, in the dark, in the deep waters where we don't see it happening. So Neptune rules the fluids that might create the response that your immune system goes through when there is a germ or a bacteria or a virus. All normal, all natural. But you put it in a sextile to Jupiter and the magnification process can happen. Now, this doesn't always happen, right? Remember when I tell you that there's a Jupiter transit, I usually say watch overeating, overspending, overdoing anything. Right, depending on the planet that it's sextiling. Well, what we might have missed is the nature of this particular way for Jupiter and sextile Neptune to express itself. And it has expressed itself in a couple of interesting ways, actually, because if you note in the news a few days ago, Russia and Saudi Arabia pretty much came to a trade war, a mini trade war with oil, with Saudi Arabia initially dropping the price of oil so much that that also took an effect on the stock market here in the U.S. and around the world. And oil is one of those things that Neptune also rules. And you see, again, the possibility of one small move made by one country and the rippling effects that it has. So I think that's partly what we're seeing here. Now, there's always something to learn from everything that goes on here if we choose to look at it and learn, right? I was reading an article this morning. It's available. I can't remember if it was NBC or CNN or one of them. I might try to find that. The world, not just the US, not just Australia or Canada or Europe, the entire world already knew that there was a coronavirus and was already making preparations to deal with an outbreak such as this. And then fast forward to the time when it happens and we are ill prepared, right? We are not taking the steps that we need to take in order to really do what we need to do. And there's been misinformation and there's been fear. The fear is the biggest problem. And I think a lot of that fear comes in from the misinformation or the contrary information. Like one day it's this thing and the next day it's this thing. And, you know, it really takes its toll on us as individuals in our psychic level, in our mental level, our emotional level, and never mind what's going on in the physical body as your body is reacting to all of this information, maybe creating stress, etc. Our best tool at this point is to remain calm, is to move into meditation and to yoga or the things that you can do. Remember yesterday I played that beautiful music. Literally, I freaking played that music all day, because it kept me from getting into that anxiety. And you feel it right in your solar plexus, and it begins to rise up and through the heart and come up in the throat. And then you're feeling constricted. And then your mind is going crazy at the same time. So we have the tools to be able to keep ourselves calm, cool, and collected. And there was something else about, oh yes. Okay. So then I also wanted to remind everybody of the gate in your human design where Jupiter and the planet Pluto are sitting. It's the gate 61, which in your human design is up in the head center coming down toward the ajna. And it is a gate that the shadow energy, and no mistake, that shadow energy is triggered right now and creates psychosis. Now, how psychotic is it when before Costco opens in the morning, there is a line out the door and all the way back to the main street that is literally 400 people deep waiting in line to get freaking toilet paper? It's insanity. And it's not like this is fake news either. My daughter's friend was there. She snapped a picture and sent it to my daughter because she had been thinking she was going to go a little bit later. And the insanity of it all is this is being replayed not only here in my state of Washington, but this is being played all over the country. And it's insanity. It is psychotic. It is psychosis brought on by the fear field. So we have to do what we have to do to get out of that fear field, or we're contributing to that psychosis. Pluto is there to transform psychosis. Out of psychosis, we get to the energy of inspiration. Inspiration, right? And then at the highest level, we get to sanctity. That's what that gate is about. We're moving out of that psychosis and into inspiration, maybe becoming inspired by what we can do for one another, how we can help ourselves, how we can be more resourceful. If we run out of toilet bottles, spray bottles, right? I mean, those are the things, these are the kind of things that we have to think about. Like, how can we support one another? And how can we, you know, deal in a world whose landscape has suddenly changed, right? Whose landscape is transformed by what is going on. We can rise to this occasion because we've suffered as human beings many other calamities that were worse than this, right? We can do this. We got this. So that just gives you a little bit of background. There were planets at play that were creating the possibility of an ease and flow of this energy of transmission of this tiniest little thing called a virus and exploding it. And likely, you know, these things have a rise and a fall. If we looked at them on a diagram, we'd probably see it sort of look like a bell diagram where it increases and it comes to a peak and then it falls. I don't know if that is going to be a peak and it falls rapidly, or is it going to be a peak that slow to rise and then, you know, comes down slowly? That we don't know. But I do know this. We are coming up to another Jupiter sextile Neptune in June and the third one in the month of October, November. So we want to beware, not because we're scared, but because the possibility is that this is pulsing through the human atmosphere at the moment. And as all transits do, this too shall pass. And we have many opportunities then to learn the lessons of this. One lesson might be to stay out of fear. Another lesson might be when something happens, don't hide your freaking head in the sand. Do something about it, right? It's kind of like when there are hurricanes that are bearing down on the coast of Florida or someplace, and the authorities tell people to evacuate and then they don't. And then a hurricane slams that area. We get sort of numb to hearing that on a repeated basis, right? The washing your hands thing, right? We could get very numb about hearing that. And then we go into a lax space where we're not really paying much attention to that anymore. So don't lose focus. Don't go into fear. Do due diligence, right? Whatever it is that makes sense, do, right? Do it. Don't be fearful about it. Now, on the other hand, these transits that are coming up, for example, this weekend is a pretty interesting weekend because we go hard hitting today, good hitting today. What's another word I could say? Soft hitting with a lot of really good planets in their contacts with a sextile to Mars, a trine to Neptune, a sextile to Jupiter, a trine to the Sun, and a sextile to Pluto. And I didn't list them all like by sextile and then trine because that's the order in which they occur. So we're moving from sextile to trine, sextile to trine, sextile to trine with all of the planets that the moon is playing with today. So the moon is playing with planets that are in Capricorn and also playing with planets that are in Pisces. So we have Pisces and Capricorn again prominent. Likely, we're going to see some interesting news about what's going on with the virus today. We may even hear with the planet Mars engaged, we may hear about some maybe extreme actions that maybe state governments are taking. I don't know, right? That's Mars represents the military. And I was talking with someone last night who said something about the National Guard being called out in some one state, I don't remember which one, to help, get things in order. And that's scary on one hand, but on the other hand, it's very appropriate with Mars in Capricorn, which rules the military, to get the military involved to get order if indeed things are out of order. I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying it's there, it's a possibility. With the trine to Neptune, maybe those numbers go up a bit today, virus-wise. Maybe we hear about something going on in another country or another state in the US. Maybe with the sextile to Jupiter, we hear something, we can be focusing on the bad news, or we could be focusing on what's good about this. I choose to focus. This morning when I looked at there's a news station here that's done a really great job of the facts, not the fear. That's their whole motto right now, the facts, not fear. And I love that. And there were no deaths, no more deaths. Yesterday we were at 31. This morning we were still at 31. I'm celebrating that at this point in time. So find the things to celebrate. I guess that's what my point is this morning. We can't really control that, this Jupiter sextile Neptune got away with this virus. I'm wondering if this virus hasn't been in the US for a whole lot longer. I was noticing in, if I looked back to Christmas time and New Year's time, people in my family having a cough and having a fever. And then, especially, a couple of my grandchildren had that. My husband had that. And out of the blue, a fever and then a cough. And that cough was just nagging and going on. But no one was testing. They did test him for the flu, which he didn't have. So they just said, oh, it's just some virus. Well, what if it was already here in the US then? And we didn't know it. It's a possibility. I don't know. So our, when we look at the numbers that we're seeing now, and it looks like, wow, there's a big percentage of people dying. There could have been so many more people that have already had it and healed from it that it could skew the numbers to a completely different end. But because we're so in the fear field, we might not see that. So again, get out of the fear. Just this too shall pass. Okay, so let's see. I'm seeing a lot of comments go by, and I'm sorry, I'm going to lose them all. Colleen, the bears will disagree. Oh, because Tom says, please don't feed the fears or the bears. New York has National Guard as some areas are closed. Maybe that's where we heard that. So we have Jacqueline says, there's a rumor going where in New York they will close school soon and we will be quarantined for almost a month as they clean. Tom Wright, well, here in this state, Jacqueline, they indeed did close three. In all of the counties, there's three counties that are primarily around Seattle, Tacoma, and Everett, the major cities. that are closed for 6 weeks, all the way through till I think April 27th is the first day they can go back to school. And I don't know. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and her and I were talking, and we're like, well, what if they just closed everything? What if we just closed everything and isolated for a while? Let this virus die out. If it has no hosts, it dies. And just then, you know, go to some, you know, sort of extreme for a few weeks, so that maybe we let that virus die out, and then we don't have to re-experience it in those pulses in June and in November. I don't know. I don't have the answers. I'm not an epidemiologist. I am not even a doctor. I just know that sometimes we just have to do whatever it is that we need to do in order to get something through. And then sometimes we are loath to take the steps that we know we need to take in order to stop something from happening. Like, it would be really easy, super easy, not financially savvy for the oil companies, to let our reliance on oil go, because we have the technologies for solar, we have the technology for electric, we have the technology for other forms of energy, but we refuse to force the hands of the corporations and the government to make that happen, because we're creatures of habit. And we know it's going to be upsetting to our apple cart, so we do not want to do it. Yes, the economy would take a hit. Yes, these oil companies would have to change. We would have to get new cars. We would have to do a lot of things. But isn't it prudent to do that? Isn't it the most sustainable thing to do to make those changes? But we're loath to do it. We don't do what we know we need to do because we don't like the extremes. And we are in fear of what that means for us. And yeah, I'm not going to, you know, be a Pollyanna and say it wouldn't have an effect, because it will. But any more of an effect right now that's happening to our stock market than what this coronavirus has already done? I mean, come on. Or we can keep dealing and putting out these fires as they come up. And note that the fires are getting stronger. And I don't just mean the forest fires. All the fires, all the things that are happening in the world, they're not, you know, we get like a little bit of one and then we manage that. And then we get the next bigger one and it's, oh my gosh, we better do something. And then something big like the coronavirus happens. And now we fall apart at the seams because we didn't do what we needed to do back in the beginning. Where if we had taken climate change back in the 70s, we knew we were headed in this direction. But there was conflicting information. And it was easier just to say, oh, those people are whack jobs. They're crazies. We don't need to listen to them. And now every year that's gone by, it's getting worse and it's getting more critical. Same thing. We knew that oil had an expiration date. We knew that at some point we were going to run out of it, and we've not done anything about it. So now we get to pay the price, right? We knew back in December that China was experiencing this Wuhan virus, as it was called at the time. We know that we're a global civilization and that we have the possibility of a pandemic. Anything that happens to one country or one people is eventually going to happen to all of us, but we did nothing. We did nothing because it wasn't here, but it was. Likely it was. Anyway, so don't hide your head in the sand. Don't dig into the fear. Let's just do the things that we know we need to do in order to curb this and to move forward. So, all right, now, Jacqueline, they called me at 11:30 p.m. to say my 14-year-old with cerebral palsy school got closed because one teacher tested positive. Marissa says, I'm in West Virginia and my son's school is going in preparation mode in case the schools close. COVID-19 isn't positively in my state yet, but it's in Kentucky, Ohio, Virginia, et cetera. You get the picture, right? It's moving. It's moving because people aren't doing the self-quarantine. Nope, they're out freaking buying toilet paper. I'm sorry, I'm getting off my soapbox now. And you know, it wasn't my intention this morning to get on the soapbox, but it's amazing to me how easy it is for us to fall into the fear. As much as we know better, as much as we talking heads have been, you know, talking about this, even I was falling victim to it. And of course, now I've made the choice not to do that, right? Now I'm going to be this voice for reason. You know, let's do the things we need to do to get through this and let's move on. All the while, holding ourselves in, peace and as much serenity as you can, as we just deal with what we need to deal with and then move on. Okay. Now, interestingly enough, today's Pleiadian Earth energy is for catalyzing. And catalyzing energy was Kawayak in the Mayan calendar, which is a sign of the rainstorm, of the big storm. I think of this as hurricane energy, right? That comes in, does a lot of damage, but clears the air. And Kawayak is like that. It's catalyzing. It stirs the pot, right? If we're cooking something, we put it in a pot to boil. We inject that heat, right? Because we want it to boil so that we can cause change. So the energy of catalyzing is all about what can we begin? How can we stir things up and get to a new product? How can we get to a new end product? So that in relation to the energy of the four is the universal energy for the day, and it is the energy of stability, of the foundation. It is the pause for integrating the previous 3 days worth of energy. So the one intuitive energy, right? The intuiting that is the umbrella for the whole of the 13-day period. So we come to this point where we can integrate all these things. We can integrate the duality and the polarization that occurs with the two. We can integrate the creative energy that came up yesterday with the three. And today we have this ability to settle it all in and put it in its proper perspective and to be able to integrate. So today's a great day for that. But we have to remember that Kawayak is a storm, right? That's that rain or lightning or that thunder, we've all lived through them, big storms, right? It doesn't have to be destructive, but it can be cathartic in that it catalyzes some kind of change. So we have that going on today. Now, Saturday, because we're looking at the weekend, Saturday's energy, the moon, first of all, very early in the morning from 3:06 a.m. my time to 4:10 a.m. my time will be in the void, just a little more than an hour long void as the moon prepares to move out of Scorpio and into Sagittarius. And as the moon moves into Sagittarius, we'll wake up. Us on the West Coast anyway, you guys on the East Coast may already be awake at the time the moon moves into Sagittarius. It will come into a square with Mercury. Actually, it'll be in a square to Mercury before it moves into Sagittarius. Pardon me, because Mercury is still at the 28th, 29th degree of Aquarius. He doesn't move back into Pisces until next week on the 16th. So we have Mercury still at the karmic degrees, let's say, of Aquarius in a square to the moon in the latter degrees of Scorpio. And then the only major moon connection tomorrow will be with a sextile to Saturn. Now, we do have Mars in a sextile to Neptune tomorrow and the Sun in a sextile to Pluto tomorrow. I would love to read those as highly positive. I think the potential is there for some really positive information, some positive behaviors on our part. Remember, Mars is in Capricorn now, and it is very near to the planet Jupiter, who's creating this pandemic, right? Who's involved in this pandemic. Mars is an action planet. So maybe what we'll see over this weekend is, some real steps toward, really stopping this spread. The planet Neptune is involved, right? Neptune, germs, virus, oil, also highly spiritual though. So maybe we're going to take action on highly spiritual things this weekend. But also I want to say that there's likely going to be some maybe unpleasantness in some of the actions we realize we have to take in order to get where we want to be. That's also partly Sun sextile Pluto, as it can literally bring up a bit of a power struggle. That might be a power struggle within governments. It might be actually the fall of a leader, maybe someone of prominence. We've heard of a few people already. Justin Trudeau's wife has the coronavirus. Tom Hanks and his wife in Australia have been tested positive for the coronavirus. We have dignitaries that have visited this country who were hobnobbing with some of our senators and even the president, and they've tested positive for the coronavirus. So it's possible tomorrow that we hear more of that. Again, stay out of the fear. But the other good thing about the sun sextile Pluto is we can draw our power back in, right? That's a really good aspect for us to be able to use our power wisely, right? Doing it, focusing it on things that really matter. And using the energy of Mars, even sextiling Neptune, to really get into a spiritual practice, maybe beginning your day with some form of meditation or prayer or whatever, right? Whatever suits you, whatever feels good to you. Also, tomorrow is a five enlightening day. The five is the number of change. And that can be disturbing to some people, right? Things change. Part of the reason why we don't take action when we're being told to evacuate or we're being told to self-quarantine is because it means change. It means that we have to do something different. It means that we can't do the same thing that we always do because we humans are creatures of habit. Not to say that there aren't people that live the life of change, and that's possible, but we like habits. We like to know for sure that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, right? So five comes along and shakes that up. So tomorrow's a possibility for some change, but lovely, the earth is in the gate of, or the, in the Pleiadian sign of enlightening, which is Ahau in the Mayan calendar. This is really great energy for seeing the light, right? For being turned on by your intuition, being allowed, tapping into something greater than yourself. So change and enlightenment tomorrow as the energies of the day. I think of the weekend tomorrow is likely setting the stage for the next week and also shaking us up a bit. Again, don't go into the fear. Breathe. Breathing, as I've discovered, is like the number one best thing that you can do to help yourself during these times, right? I found myself, I don't know how many times yesterday, just breathing, even just three or four deep breaths just to recenter, right? To get back into a calm space. So we have that. We always have that available to us. Sunday, literally, I didn't even look at Sunday yet because I was not in that space on Sunday. The moon in Sagittarius will be squaring Neptune. So again, maybe some more Neptunian things. I want you to remember something else too. Back in, was it December? When did I did the astrology for 2020? I think that was December 11th. Or maybe it was even before that. I did a webinar about what was coming up in the year 2020. And we were talking about the difference between now and the dark ages, right? The dark ages where there was the Black Plague. Their Black Death, which happened to be the plague, and the similarities between those years and this particular set of years that we're in right now. Or we could look at it as the astrological connections from the Dark Ages to the astrological connections of the 2020s or 20-teens and 2020s. And one of the common denominators, of course, was Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto all being in the sign of Capricorn. But there was one outlier, and that was Neptune. Neptune was the wild card because Neptune wasn't in Pisces at that time. So we don't know, right? Because we didn't even know there was a Neptune at that point in time, for one thing. But now we have this Neptune and it was the wild card here. We didn't know how quite that was going to play in. I thought it was possible that it could play into being very highly spiritual if we could really move through an ascension process or an evolutionary process, a spiraling of our consciousness. We could really mitigate the effects of what the big things were that would happen for 2020. And in some ways, maybe we were successful. Maybe we are successful beyond our wildest imaginations that this is only doing what it's doing right now, right? That this could be could be much worse. But on the other hand, it could have also been the harbinger of some things to come where Neptune rules oil and the immune system, etc. So, and I also think I remember talking about it at that point in time about the possibility that one of the biggest things we could do for ourselves is detoxifying our environment, right? Detoxifying our environment, detoxifying our bodies, And that might mean through the foods you eat, through the water you're drinking, through the people that you surround yourself by, what you're thinking, as well as the environment that you find yourself in. But that's something you have in your power to clean your environment. But there's a lot of other big environmental concerns. And for example, here in Skagit Valley, where I live, it's a very rural area. It is now mid-March, and a lot of the farmers are out there in the fields getting their fields prepared for planting, which really doesn't take place until later in April or in May even. A friend of mine noted that the farmers are already spraying Roundup out in those fields. And we know that Roundup has carcinogens in it. You're putting carcinogens out there in an environment. And not only that, but right now there are still hundreds of snow geese and swans still here in those fields, right? And they're eating, and not only that, they're eating the bugs, the frogs, the seeds and things that are already out there. So we're fouling our environment. I know farmers think they need to do this because they need to clear out the weeds or the grasses or the whatever so it doesn't choke out their crops. I get it. But do we really have to do that? Are there other ways around that? These are, you know, this is Ceres that was in Capricorn. These are considerations that we have to think of about our agriculture, about how we grow our food, about how we deal with the fields. What are we spraying out there? What are we doing? How are we fouling that, right? Questions, right? Questions that are not easily answerable, but we got to do something. We can't keep burying our heads in the sand. We can't keep spraying Roundup out there in, you know, thinking that, you know, we're doing something good for the environment because it's a killing ingredient. Anyway. I don't know the answers. I really don't. But I think these are things that we should be talking about in big ways, right? Dude, you are killing off grass with a known carcinogen that, by the way, gets into the soil. And then the soil is blown by the wind out to the air, which then ends up in our houses through our filtration systems, you know, that gets in and creates us taking that in, right? We're breathing it in. Craziness. Or it, worse yet, the water. Here we are in this very wet environment here in Washington and other wet environments around the country. It soaks into the ground. Our water table is really high right now. So what do you think those chemicals are getting into our water? Things have got to change. It's right in our face right now. If we don't do something about it, we are going to pay the price later. Who knows what it will be? Okay, Marissa, detoxing ourselves in various ways. I remember you saying that. Yay. See, I do remember saying that. Londa, let's make vitamin C empty on the shelves. Let's do it. Tom Wright, nuns are creatures of habits too. I love it, Tom. You are our comic relief. I love it. In the midst of all of this serious stuff, we are playing word games. I love it. Okay, let's lighten up now. Okay, one last thing before I go to do readings, because I think we deserve to have some readings today. I just wanted to let people... Oh, dear. Human design, sun and earth made a move today into the gate 36 and the gate 6. Now, in the lowest expression, do I even want to bring this up? The shadow energy in these gates is turbulence and conflict. The 36 and the 6 we know are on the emotional center. And that means of the possibility of overexpression of emotional energy. Turbulence, conflict, Jupiter and Pluto in psychosis. You can see that if we fall into the shadow, it could be very negative feeling and very powerful on our psyches. So we're going to stay out of that fear field. We're going to stay out of turbulence and conflict. Yeah, okay, it's happening. But we're going to get to the gift level in the gate 36, and that's humanity. What does it mean to be a human? What does it mean to be human? To be a part of a group that takes care of one another, That's humanely treating one another. And then the gate six is diplomacy. So we're moving to diplomacy and humanity. So let's stay there. Let's stay out of turbulence and conflict. Let the outer world, the chips may fall wherever they're going to fall, but we are going to be in diplomacy and humanity. And the highest expression in the gate 36, we go from humanity to compassion. And in the gate six, we go from conflict to diplomacy to peace, right? Peace. So the highest expression of all, peace and compassion. Let's make that happen. Let's Jean-Luc Picard make it so, right? Let's do it. Okay. Marissa, oh dear, my emotional center is not defined. I need to focus on staying extra calm. Exactly. And I do have the dragon deck, Tom. I'm going to write your name down as a reading. And yep, we're not worried about, that's so funny, Tom. He says, Janet and Terry aren't worried about the toilet paper because they have SpongeBob. That's right. You know, the next thing that's going to go on shelves is the connections. There's a connection that you can hook up to your toilet tank or to your toilet water flow that turns your toilet into a bidet. That'll be the next thing flying off the shelves of Home Depot. And the vitamin C that we're all going to buy because we need to be covered. Debbie Hedden would love a card. There you go, Debbie. And Marissa, so now's your time. Besides Tom and Debbie Hedden, if you want a card reading, let me know. I'm going to start doing those so we can at least get maybe several people. Alternatively, besides dragons, I have spirit animals. I have Wisdom of the Oracle, and I do have the goddess card still that we can play with. Right now for Tom, I'm pulling a dragon. And then I'm going to pull a dragon for you too, Debbie Hedden. Oh, Tom, one flipped out. It is the golden Atlantean dragon. Ooh, beautiful. Oh, I got to go back to Zoom. I haven't even been in Zoom this morning. I've managed to not look at myself once. There we go. Golden Atlantean dragon. It helps you remember the wisdom of golden Atlantis. And it says, awaken, bring back your knowledge, gifts, and talents, and reclaim your mastery. There we go. The golden Atlantean dragon. Let's see what that means here. I don't even remember if that's fifth dimensional. Golden solar dragon, golden. Okay, golden Atlantean dragon, page 100. And these are a little bit longer to read because I also like to read the about the card. So here we go. Golden Atlantean dragon, seventh dimensional. Golden Atlantean dragons hold the keys and codes of the awesome wisdom of the golden Atlantis. The golden era of Atlantis lasted for 1500 years. And during this time, the people lived in harmony and happiness at the upper level of the fifth dimension. Humans, animals, and the land itself radiated a golden aura, and everyone enjoyed soul satisfaction. Source energy powered the great crystal held in the Temple of Poseidon, which was the power source for civilization. The awesome spiritual technology of Atlantis was activated by crystals and mind control. When we are ready to bring back our innate Atlantean knowledge and wisdom, golden Atlantean dragons will come to us and reactivate the gifts and talents and information held within our DNA. Here's your guidance, Tom. This card invites you to activate your own personal fifth dimensional blueprint, for it contains the light of the incredible era of golden Atlantis. The golden Atlantean dragon who has come to you now worked directly with all the great masters of Atlantis during the Halcyon days and remembers exactly who you truly are. Prepare to reclaim your mastery. You are ready to dissolve the final veils of amnesia, and your dragon will assist you to do so. Ask it to breathe its golden fire into your third eye so that the final clearance and awakening can take place. Your dragon will then remain with you and shine light into you as you prepare to stand in your power as an Atlantean master. Gotta love that one. All right, Tom, I hope that dragon is helpful to you. And Debbie Hedden, I'm going to pull you a dragon because I don't believe you had a reading last week when we first played with these. So, it's your turn to get a dragon. And you get the golden orange dragon that says, expand your light for ascension. Be a peaceful warrior. Help those in need. Remember your magnificence. The golden orange dragon. Pretty one. Okay, let's see what that is. Did he say what? Golden orange. Oh, did I just pass you? Nope. Okay. Golden orange dragon, page 66. Here we go. This is about your dragon. Fifth dimensional golden orange dragons are part of Archangel Metatron's ascension team. Archangel Metatron is leading forward individuals who are ready to follow his path. At the same time, he is overseeing the ascension of the entire universe. The golden orange dragons who work for him are carrying the fifth dimensional ascension blueprint for Earth, and they come to those of us who are ready to make a difference. As soon as they are seen, no. As soon as they see golden orange energy awaken in our aura, they breathe into us to expand it and accelerate our ascension journey. These magnificent dragons demonstrate dignity, peace, and power with wisdom. They are peaceful spiritual warriors, always ready to help and encourage those in need. So Debbie Hedden, here's your guidance. This card connects you with the illuminated Archangel Metatron, as well as his powerful ascended dragons. You are on your ascension path, and golden orange dragons are pouring high-frequency light into your aura to attract the attention of the masters, angels, and unicorns who are guiding you. Drawing this card suggests it is time for a push forward on your ascension path. Do you need to meditate more, or examine and release old stuff, or embrace who you truly are and recognize your magnificence? Tell these dragons what you need in order to take the step on your the next step on your journey into the higher frequencies, and they will help you. Call on them for support, and they will provide it. They are wonderful companions and friends. That's a wonderful card. Love it. So the golden orange dragon. Okay, now I got to go back to Facebook. Likely, you're welcome, Tom. Bye, Sue. Have a wonderful weekend yourself. That is an amazing card. I don't know what Londa's saying here. Gene Candy, Gene Key. I don't know what that is. Oh, it's the DNA, Gene's DNA. Who else would like a reading? And I might have missed people. So if you've already typed that in, type it in again while I'm looking so that running list. Oh, thank you, Marissa. Mwah. Debbie Tippett's Tumiel. Okay, let me write this real quick. So we have Debbie, the other Debbie. We have Mimi. We have Jacqueline Tyler, who wants spirit animal. We have Londa. I know Londa. Jacqueline Lopez. And a collective dragon. Collective dragon. Nice. And Marissa wants a Woto. Marissa, thank you so much for keeping that running list for me. You are a doll. Brilliant. All right, Debbie Tippett's Tumiel. Debbie, I know this is work on my part, but I'm going to pull you a goddess card. That's just something that's coming up that you need today. A goddess. Yes, I agree, Mimi. Thank you, Marissa. That is very kind of you. Very helpful to me. Okay, so Debbie Tippett's Tumiel, communication, the goddess Iris. Wow, we haven't had this one, Debbie. Oh, she has got rainbow tears, but maybe they're tears of joy. Hold on, I'm going to go to Zoom just for a moment so I can center the card. There we go. So we have Iris, card number 22. Communication. Love it. And let's see what she says for all of us, or I mean for you, Debbie, but all of us, right? We're all together here. And she was right side up. So that is an empowerment message in this deck. And it says, clarity in communication is called for as your words will have great impact on others right now. It's a wonderful time to start writing the book, telling new stories, and sharing your experience, strength, and hope with others. You have everyone's ear, so choose your message wisely. Others will also desire positive and fruitful communication with you, so get ready for some amazing new opportunities to come from these discussions. Just remember to stay open and be clear about expressing your deepest desires, always speaking with integrity, kindness, and respect for yourself and others. The Greek messenger goddess Iris is thrilled to help your words take flight. Communication improves in all your relationships when she comes to visit. Most important, however, Iris reminds you of the communication you have with the universe. You are in a mutual dialogue, and now is the time to pay attention to the signs and omens in your life. Trust this important yet subtle communication. It will never lead you astray when you listen and act accordingly. Important message for you, Deb. Love that message. Oops, why did I do that? Okay. Now, after Debbie was Mimi. Mimi, did you... I didn't look and see if you wanted a specific card. You usually like animals. You're welcome, Debbie Tibbetts, two meal. Mimi, can you please... I'm going to draw you a dragon, Mimi. If that isn't the card you really wanted, please let me know in the commentary there so I can draw the correct card for you. But the dragons were kind of calling, and I don't remember doing a dragon for you last week. I might have, but let's see what this one is for you. My choice. Okay, thanks, Mimi. And you get a rose pink dragon. She is gorgeous. I can't wait to show you. So let me read this really quick. Prepares your heart to connect with the higher facets of the cosmic heart. Open your heart to warm-hearted love and diamond light. Connect with the love of the universe. There you go. Can you see that card? Oops, let's go this way. Rose pink dragon. She is just beautiful. She looks like she doesn't have a care in the world. She is just sending out love. I love it. Okay, let's read about her. Rose pink dragon. I would suspect this might be also self-love, right? Rose pink dragon. Where are you? Rose pink. She's a seventh dimensional dragon. Page 80. There we go. Okay, so I'm going to read about the dragon first. Rose is the vibration of pure and beautiful, warm-hearted love, and these seventh dimensional dragons radiate this higher love. Our heart center has 33 facets, which range from the green of conditional love through pink to pure white. When we are ready to open the pure white transcendent petals in the center of our glowing heart, the rose pink dragons help us to connect our hearts with Venus, the cosmic heart where we tune into cosmic love and oneness. These beautiful dragons are attracted to us as soon as our heart is ready. We may feel our heart center becoming warm when they are near us. People will then respond to the rose pink that is starting to shine in our energy fields. Lovely! Here's the guidance for you, Mimi. Receiving this card suggests that your higher heart is ready to connect to the cosmic heart. Ask the rose pink dragons to touch your heart center and sense it awakening and expanding. When the four central petals open, they sparkle with diamond light. They contain the highest facets of love energy of the universe. Be aware of them lighting up so that all 33 facets of your heart center are active. You may see or sense a shaft of rose pink light flowing from your heart right up to the cosmic heart, which opens wide to you. Breathe soft, warm pink light into your aura. Notice how you transcend your emotions as the rose pink dragons stay close to you and light you up. I love it. And just imagine how that would affect your art, right? Your creative energy as well. As you just channel, you just become a channel for love coming through into your artwork. I mean, just because I know that you're an artist. Lovely, Mimi. Okay, Jacqueline Tyler. You haven't had a reading in a very long time. So let's take a look. She wants a spirit animal. So let me pull that deck out for a moment. And so Jacqueline Tyler, this is for you. And I know that it's going to be a good one. Ooh, it is Grasshopper Spirit. Card number 30 that says, take a leap of faith. Here's what the card looks like. I know that you probably can't see it yourself, Jacqueline, but others can see the grasshopper who is wearing a crown. He's kind of a turquoise green color, and he's standing on top of what looks like a bunch of ivy and flowers, grasses maybe. And what else is in this card that I can describe for you? The grasshopper's body has what looks like a gold-etched butterfly on it. So I get maybe a theme of transformation and change. The card number 30 is a 3. So let's see what that means for you. And he was upside down, so he's in a bit of a protection spot. But still, don't let that worry you, because that just means you're being protected, or you need to look at something a little bit differently. So Grasshopper Spirit says, it is hard for you to trust in good fortune because you have been hurt in the past when you took a risk. Staying earthbound does not offer the safety you seek, for that can only be found through trusting that spirit is always with you and wants the best for you. Your intuition is guidance from spirit telling you to let go of your fears and leap into the abundance of good fortune awaiting you. Grasshopper Spirit reminds you that the only way now is to jump forward. Can you be willing to trust the unknown, the great mystery that you can't fully understand? Even if you take the teeniest leap in consciousness to be willing, it's a beautiful beginning. Sure, every leap forward brings a new challenge, but you can handle it with spirit as your partner, trusting that this new experience will only deepen your life with magic and meaning. Take the leap. That is a super good card for you, Jacqueline Tyler. I love it. And before I move over to Londa's card, I'm going to pull a spirit animal card for the collective, because I feel like we need a protector animal, or an animal that, a message from the animal kingdom to help us through the weekend. And then I will still pull a Jacqueline, or Jacqueline Lopez requested a collective dragon, but I think I'm trying to get us a spirit animal. And well, that was interesting, but we get white raven spirit. Trust in the magic. And it was upside down. I have never drawn this card. I don't remember drawing it for any one of you. White Raven Spirit, trust in the magic. Card number 66. So double sixes, a master number. 6 plus 6 is 12, which is a 3. So we have creative energy. We have joyful energy. We have, you know, maybe losing focus a bit. But let's read what White Raven Spirit means. I can't believe it. That's great. That's like the first time ever. And I've played with these cards a lot. So White Raven Spirit in protection. Are you being distracted? Oh my God. Are you being distracted by the illusion of a chaotic universe? Deep in your heart, you know the world is full of magic, and White Raven has appeared to remind you that the ways of the world can cause spiritual amnesia. Stay awake and alert, for spirit wants you to enjoy the miracles all around you. Remember, the evidence of divine order can be seen everywhere. Ask for a sign and it shall be yours. Synchronicities happen all the time. So if you are in a time of challenge and feeling cynical, all you need to do is ask for a reminder. White Raven will appear to assure you that all of this is leading to something better, for magic is in the wind. I couldn't, if I had deliberately gone into this deck to find a card, I don't think I could have done a better job. This is magnificent. White Raven Spirit. Let me let you guys visualize this. The White Raven. Gorgeous. Okay. Now, Londa, you did not tell me what kind of card you want, girlfriend. So what would you like? Alisa, I will add you. Oops. If I add you there, I will think I've already done you. There we go. And Judy Wheeler, good morning. Just received a letter for my daughter. Closed and schools are closed until further notice. I do think that's prudent. Okay. So Londa, I'm going to draw you a dragon, since we talk about dragons frequently. Oh, Londa. Rainbow Dragon. Bring the leap of joy that opens new doors. Have trust. Rediscover wisdom. Expect miracles. Accept opportunities. Again, let me go back over here to Zoom so I can show you this card. Rainbow Dragon. Love it. It reminds me of Debbie's card, the goddess card that had the rainbow, you know, tears, rainbow streaks, rainbow dragon. Okay, so get out of La La Land. Janet, let's do this. Rainbow is... card number 50. It's a fifth dimensional dragon, Londa. And here is what it's all about. A rainbow in the sky is a cosmic gift. If our heart leaps with joy and gratitude when we see one, the universe opens new doors for us. Glorious rainbow dragons carry the same promise. When they come to us, a multicolored mystical flame ignites within us. This automatically attracts something of significance from the universe towards us. In addition, rainbow dragons will take us to the mystical pot of gold that is said to await us at the end of the rainbow. This golden gift is our own ancient wisdom, which has been waiting for us to rediscover it. With it, we know how to take knowledge and use it for the highest good of all. We become a wise one, a mage, and the rainbow dragons open the petals of our crown to connect us with the universal knowledge. And as we use knowledge wisely, more comes to us. Here's your guidance, Londa. This is a card of hope, prayers, expectation, and gratitude. Look for opportunities. Expect miracles. When new openings occur, seize them. Sometimes you may hardly dare to believe that good fortune has sought you out, so make sure you accept it consciously and unconsciously. Do not let it slip away. Remember to thank the rainbow dragon who has come to you for opening new doors for you. Ride with the current of life this dragon has brought you and enjoy everything that comes your way. A rainbow dragon may feel like an illusion, but it is very real. If you catch the flash of rainbow colors out of the corner of your eye, it is your rainbow dragon reminding you that the time for a new life is now. Trust that it will happen for you. Super-de-doo-dah. Okay, Londa, get busy, girl. Okay, after Londa, Jacqueline, wanted us to pull a collective dragon. Marissa would like a Woto, and then Elisa. Okay. Let's pull a collective dragon, one for all of us. A leader that we can line up behind, the dragon. Ooh. We get a dusky pink dragon, dusky pink dragon from Andromeda. Say that 10 times fast. Dusty pink dragon from Andromeda prepares all your chakras to embody higher love. Accept and radiate higher love. Touch others with its flame. There you go. Dusty pink dragon from Andromeda. Love it. Okay, let's look this one up. This is for all of us. This is a collective dragon. And I'm not sure if we've had this one or not. Doesn't sound familiar. I mean, it sounds familiar as in I've looked at it here. It is a seventh dimensional dragon. Somebody might've gotten this one last week. Okay. Here we go. About. All the stars in the constellation of Andromeda embody a beautiful love and acceptance beyond our current understanding. The seventh dimensional dusky pink dragons from Andromeda carry the vibration of transcendent love. We're getting a lot of love cards today. I think this is awesome. If we are ready for their light, they circle around us. And when they pour this special energy into our chakras, our aura is illuminated by a glorious pink light. This enables us to radiate love and light at many different frequencies and transform the people we meet without them even being aware of it. These dragons also work with crickets, who come from the same constellation. Their song carries the codes of higher love from Andromeda, and their mission is to bathe the natural world in this vibration. Here is our guidance from the collective. Receiving this card indicates that you are ready for higher love. The dusky pink dragons from Andromeda are suggesting it is time for you to carry this luminous light in all your spiritual energy centers. Touch your stellar gateway, soul star, causal crown, third eye, throat, heart, solar plexus, navel, sacral, base, and earth star chakras in turn, breathing in dusty pink and affirming, I accept and radiate higher love. As you do so, have a sense of these dragons breathing pink into all of your chakras. You become a flame of ineffable pink love. Be aware, you now have the power to touch everyone you meet with the flame of spiritual love. Know that when you work with the dusky pink dragons from Andromeda, you can make a huge difference to the ascension of the planet. There we have it, guys. We have gotten the gauntlet from the dusky pink dragon from Andromeda. Bring in love from all of the chakras, the ones above your head, down right through the crown, all the way through, down into the earth and below. Anchoring in light and love. Perfect. Thank you, Jacqueline Lopez, for having me draw one of those for the collective. Marissa, it is your turn, sweetness. And you wanted a Woto, so let's do that. I now have almost every deck except the Wisdom deck, open. Oh, goodness. Now, let's see. This is for Marissa. Ooh, Marissa, this is, there we go. Ooh, nice. Imagine. And this is card number 20, which is a 2. Also a number of love and relationship, but imagine, look at all that. Look at the goddess in the middle or the spirit in the middle reaching up to the moon, right? Like to say, I hear you, I feel you, I see you, I create, I am. All, you can put lots of fun stuff there. Let's see what that card means. 20, card number 20. And it was right side up too. So the essential meaning of the card is turning imagination into manifestation, creative thought, visualization, the power of aligning imagery and feelings, creativity and illusions. So here's the Oracle's message to you. Who do you want to be? What do you need to believe in order to have the life you want? What do you need to believe in order to have the life you want? You were gifted with the power to imagine. If you can dream it, you can create it. This is the time when your imagination is the key to manifesting the life you desire. Spend time daydreaming, fashioning a vision board to help you see your goals, or meditating. Allow the power of your creativity to deliver messages and images of what feeds your soul. Then allow your feelings to mingle with your inspirations and imagine these things being real right now. Then repeat. What you imagine will become your belief, and soon you will see these things come to pass in the outer world as if by magic. That is another. Notice how love and magic are themes that keep coming up through all these cards, all these different decks. Those are the themes that we're getting here today. I love it. Okay, Marissa and Elisa. I'm going to do one more card reading for Elisa. I think she said my choice of the deck. I'm going to do a dragon. I'm getting dragon and I'm getting goddess for you, Elisa. So what's in front of me is the goddesses. So I'm going to do that one first. And then we'll see what the dragons say. Elisa, for you, a goddess. Ocean, generosity. I think we've had her before. She's just beautiful. She looks yummy. She looks like she's just in the throes of such good feelings because she's been generous, generously giving. So Ocean, O-S-H-U-N. And let's see what she has as a message for you, Elisa. And she was right side up, by the way. So that's an empowerment message. And it says, there is a universal law that centers on unrestrained generosity and flow. Ocean, the benevolent Yoruban river goddess, the representation of nourishment, healing, fertility, and prosperity, reminds you that life herself has given to you freely. You have been offered air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat, and shelter to sleep in. So it is your task to give freely of yourself, no matter how big or small the act, without expectation of receiving anything in return. The goddess Ocean encourages you to allow gratitude to permeate everything you do right now, even the smallest of opportunities and gestures. The very experience of giving and being generous with your heart, time, money, assistance, kindness, and care will provide more value than you can imagine. And when you release all attachment to the outcome, you will be surprised to see how the good fortune you have bestowed on others comes back to you tenfold. Ocean reminds you that this is the truth that has existed since time began and will continue until the world's very end. Lovely. I heard a message coming in, I think that was. And Marissa says, the universe is really determined to give me this message. I don't know how it could be more clear. I don't either, hun. I just don't. Elisa, I'm now going to draw a dragon because I got that split in my field as soon as I started to pull a card for you. And so that was the goddess. And let's pull the dragon and see which dragon is for you. And then unfortunately, that will be the end for my broadcast today. Okay, so dragon. You get a green dragon. Oh, beautiful. Green dragon helps you tune into the secrets of nature. Receive answers and guidance from nature. Align with your divine essence. And this card, I can't even describe how beautiful this card is. Look at all the green. It's like when you walk through a forest. Yeah, beautiful. Green dragon. And green dragon is card 64. It's a fifth dimensional dragon. Opened right up to it. Here we go. Here's about this dragon. All answers lie within nature, and every single thing we need while on Earth is provided for us in the natural world. Fifth dimensional green dragons touch our psychic centers and help us to tune in to the sacred geometry in the trunks of trees, the petals of flowers, the shells of snails, and everywhere in Master Pan's kingdom. These are the keys and codes, that bring us in tune with our divine essence. When we are fully aligned with our fifth dimensional blueprint, we are automatically whole and healed. Here's your guidance for this, Elisa. The nature kingdom is a magical place in which all our answers are held for us. Luminous green dragons help us to read these answers. So if you can, sit quietly in nature, call a green dragon and ask for guidance. The response may come to you consciously or unconsciously, so accept that something important has been activated within you, whether you are aware of it or not. You may feel the need to walk somewhere particular. If so, follow this impulse, for your green dragon will be guiding you. Keep your eyes and ears open, for the answer may come through a tree, bird, insect, animal, or something else entirely. Your green dragon will glide with you, directing you to the answer you need. This calls for deep trust and an understanding that the divine plan is perfect. Drawing this card also suggests that you would benefit by spending more time in the green world. Your green dragon will be with you, so acknowledge it and let it touch you with its wisdom and great knowledge. Expect revelations or healing. Lovely, lovely card, lovely card. All right, everybody. I'm going to take one last look at comments and questions, see if there's anything there that I must deal with. Judy, wow, what a beautiful day it is. Elisa says, I've been craving some nature in my life. You've got your assignment, Elisa. Now go for it. And Judy says, oh, I wish I could know my... I can't tell what that... It looks like maybe that's a dragon. Well, let's just draw you a dragon card. Or do you know your dragon? You just don't know who your dragon is. What am I doing? Those are goddess cards there. That's a dragon. Okay, one last card for Judy Wheeler so she can know her dragon. This is your totem, Judy. This is your dragon that we're pulling. So for more than just the symbol for you for the day, this is your sacred dragon, the one that walks with you. And he just jumped out of the deck. Oh my goodness, a beautiful one. I don't think we've seen this. It's called the Omega Dragon. Harnesses the divine feminine power of creation and intention. Hold your vision. Birth the higher consciousness. Look at this. spectacular dragon, the Omega, Alpha and Omega. Omega is the final letter. Omega dragon. Let's see what that one is. Book. Here we go. I bet it's the last card too. I probably, nope, it's, yes, close to it. 108. 108. 108. Here is your dragon. Ninth dimensional Omega dragons carry the divine feminine vibration of Shekinah, the universal energy that created our world. Shekinah is the feminine counterpart of Archangel Metatron's higher light and represents pure creative vision. These powerful beings are assisting the birth of higher consciousness on Earth. Collectively, they hold the vision for the new golden age, and this will enable us to achieve the intention set by Lady Gaia for the evolution of the planet. These beautiful silver-white dragons will also help us hold a personal vision for the highest good. Every wish starts with a thought that is translated into a picture. These dragons can see into our mind and will hold our vision with us. I love it. Here's your guidance. When an Omega dragon comes to you, it is time to give birth to a special new project, pathway, or aspect of yourself that has remained hidden. Call upon these dragons to fill you with the power of the divine feminine. This will enable you to hold your vision and bring it to fruition in a wise, balanced, and harmonious way. Most important of all, ask the Omega dragon to lock into the greatest desire of your soul and hold the vision of bringing it to manifestation. These dragons can be any shape or size, so just still your mind and give them permission to merge with your energy. Ask them to soften your path and the paths of all who hold the vision of the new golden age. I see it right here at your right ear, whispering to you, right here, like the little angel on your shoulder here, right here, your Omega dragon. There you go, Judy Wheeler, the Omega dragon. And the others are flying around my room here. All right, guys. Well, it's been wonderful being with you this week. Stay chill, stay relaxed, stay out of fear, stay calm, cool, and collected. Live, laugh, love, tap into the magic. I will see you on Monday. Mwah! Much love to all of you. Take care. Bye for now.